Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning and welcome everybody to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR, American Family Radio. We thank you for listening on this Tuesday, July the 5th. Hope you had a wonderful Independence Day celebration yesterday and looking forward to a good month of July. I am joined by Abraham Hamilton III. Abe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. Ed Vitagliano is out for a few days anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's away, so Abe is joining me to co-host the program today. We're watching on TV here, the FBI director, James Comey, called a press conference this morning at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern, and it's having to do with the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server and whether or not she violated any federal statutes. We're kind of wanting to know what he's having this press conference. I mean, what he's going to say, ultimately conclude. Mm. What, are you following this up here?
I can't follow it completely, because I can't hear it. Obviously, we're reading. But it appears that he's announcing that they are the FBI that is completing their
investigation.
Yeah.
Because they interviewed Hillary Clinton on Saturday for 3 hours or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, FBI did. So they've been investigating this for, what, a year?
At least. I think it's a little bit more than a year.
So we'll see maybe he's only going to say it's a statement that has already been pre-written. This isn't, but he's going to take questions after it's over. This is the biggest news story of the year, probably, short of, with the possible exception of the presidential election coming up, because it's whether or not she potentially could continue as the Democrat nominee for president. Because otherwise, if she's indicted, that may be a different scenario than her. It may be Joe Biden. It may be Bernie Sanders, somebody else.
And if you don't mind, I can explain what an indictment is. So in criminal law, in order for, first of all, an officer to be able to effect an arrest, they have to have what's called probable cause, which means it's more likely than not or more probable than not that a criminal offense has been committed. With felony offenses, before a case could be brought to trial before a jury or a judge for that matter, they would have to get what's called an indictment. What an indictment is a decision made by grand jurors, which are supposedly a makeup of a cross-section of the peers of the particularly charged and investigated party, where that those individuals say that we agree that there is sufficient evidence, that there is sufficient probable cause for this offense to be brought before a jury for a trial. So it's an advanced decision, if you will, by grand jurors to say that, yeah, we believe that there's enough evidence here for the charged party to be brought before a jury of his or her peers or before a judge to determine whether or not there was, in fact, a criminal offense that had been committed.
Well, you know what? Let's, for just a minute, of course, I want to focus on this. Whether or not the FBI director is going to, I guess, going to say whether any laws are broken in their judgment or not, but the judgment of a person who's at the level of Secretary of State, which is a high-level cabinet position.
Yes.
And your Secretary of State, so you're dealing with governments, you're dealing with our country's business, that's your job at the highest level.
Yeah.
You're receiving classified and top-secret information on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
And you decide that you're going to use a private internet server and not the government server. The government server, State Department server, use for your emails would be secure. Also, they would be archived, and they would be available, you know, for people, as it's supposed to be the law. If, you know, the federal government employees are supposed to use federal government computers. I mean, that's, yeah, you know, that's a duh. Yeah, that's one of the duh. But in this case, she decided she didn't want to be tracked. She didn't want to be traced. She didn't want to be, she wanted to have her own outside system, which she had set up in her home, in her basement, some say in her bathroom closet, so that she could do the country's business without other people knowing.
Or do some of her own business.
Or do some
countries.
Of her own business with other countries. Like the. So I guess, again, whether you want to, the law is broken or not, the judgment of somebody like that, I'm almost speechless that somebody would put our country's secrets and potentially people's names at jeopardy with our enemies, why would you set something like this, kind of your own personal server up to do your country's business?
Well, before I answer that,
yeah,
I want to add in that her proceeding to utilize her private server follows her being advised otherwise by the State Department officials.
It's really against their rules.
And their rules and against the law.
Yeah.
And should she want to deviate from the established rules, she would have an obligation to present that in the form of a request for permission to do so.
Right, right.
Which she chose not to. Now, to your question, why would you want to do that?
Right.
The only answer that I could provide for you is that you don't want the normal access to your private information exchanges. That's the only answer. The only reason to create your own server in your private email, as opposed to using the federal government, the federal government's email system and servers, would be that, one, you control access to that information, and two, you do not want others outside of yourself to have access to it. I mean, There's no other reason to want to have it that I can imagine.
Well, yeah, you know, I can understand. I think anybody understands that someone who works for a government or a business or anything, their professional emails are just that. They're doing company business, or they're doing, in this case, the country's business, but if they want to have their own private email
on the side,
nobody has a problem with that.
Nobody does.
Nobody. If you want to keep your business and your personal separate, you just use your personal email for your personal business to communicate with your family or friends or whatever like that. But that isn't what she did here.
No,
she intertwined the two.
She intertwined the two
right
away from the federal government's ability to supervise or to access that information.
James Comey, the FBI director, is having a press conference, which is sort of being watched by the country, to find out what he's going to say regarding this matter. And he's one quote he's used is, any reasonable person, end quote, should know better than to do what Secretary of Clinton did here, what we've just described the last few minutes. She and her staff were, quote, were extremely careless with secret information. Under normal circumstances, wouldn't that disqualify you from you know, in the minds of voters, from being elected? And maybe it will hurt her with independent voters. Who knows in the fall? But I think with Democrat voters, they don't really care what she did.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, I think
they've already voted. They voted for her in the primaries, and they're ready to vote for her again. So they don't really care.
No, I mean I think you have to parse this year's election as separate from other years' elections. But here, you would think that that type of either lack of judgment or wanton disregard for the law would disqualify you from being president, but it doesn't appear that that's the case. We talked a little bit about, you know, in the past, a poll that was conducted by likely Democrat voters who felt, regardless of even indictment, that Hillary Clinton should still continue to run for the president of the United States. So
this doesn't even get into the whole Clinton Foundation.
No.
Folks, I hope we're not boring you to tears here, but I mean, this is big news. This is our country's future. And I don't wanna, we're talking about the person who's the Democrat. Well, she hasn't been officially crowned such. She will be at the Democrat convention, but she's the presumptive nominee. And here she is involved in a FBI investigation for over a year. This doesn't even address the whole Clinton Foundation.
No. And
what was that about?
Yeah, well, the Clinton Foundation is being investigated separately by the FBI for its funding being received from foreign governments. I mean, here you have Hillary Clinton operating as the Secretary of State while at the same time operating a private foundation that is doing business and getting large sums of money from foreign countries. And she is suspected to just, in common vernacular, of
pay for play,
pay to play. You know, hey, we're not going to listen to you, Qatar, unless you have a certain amount of, you know, dollars, and then maybe we'll listen to you to have some type of interaction.
You know, this is the very thing that Bernie Sanders built his campaign against.
That's right.
That is, whether you agree with Sanders or not, philosophically, he's a communist, basically. And he's not a Joseph Stalin type communist, but I mean, he's a Democrat socialist. That's he believes in big government and big taxation.
Yes.
But what he also rails against is the influence of big money in politics, namely Wall Street.
Yeah.
And in this case, you can see the inherent conflict of interest problem when you have a Secretary of State. She's not Secretary of Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or another, she's Secretary of State doing business with countries around the world, right?
Yeah.
On our behalf, negotiating situations, problems. And then you have, she's doing this, and then her husband over here is running a foundation that's taking checks from around, okay. just greedy. Her husband's taking checks from countries around the world, right? To her foundation.
That's right.
And you could say for favors.
That bears her name.
Yeah.
That looks to curry favor from the United States of America as a result of those deposits being made.
What happened here?
It looks like the headline, and I'm reading it, that the FBI, based on James Comey's interview just now, is not recommending charges against Hillary Clinton.
Okay, Fred Jackson's coming in. He's news over here, Fred. This microphone over here. There's no mic. This is the headline is FBI not recommending charges against Clinton. Fred ran across the street. You got your breath?
I got my breath.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News. What you've got some bullet points here. What happened here just now? The FBI director James Comey had a press conference where he read a lengthy statement, I guess about 10 minutes, talking about the investigation of Hillary Clinton's personal email server and whether she violated the law or anything like that. What was it? The bottom line is story's over.
Yeah.
Legally.
He's recommending to justice that no charges be laid.
Okay. And a lot of people... Go ahead. Tell us what the bullet points are.
Well, he started off, he said, completed our work, exhaustive, et cetera, et cetera, ready to refer to Department of Justice. He said, Justice doesn't know what I'm about to say. So what he was telling the American people, I haven't had a chat with Attorney General Loretta Lynch before coming before you today.
Okay.
All right. Basically, what he said is that we tried to determine intent of criminal activity versus basically sloppiness. All right, so he prefaced his remarks, and then he went through a long list of what they did. They looked at the server. They looked at emails that Hillary Clinton has sent, 30,000 in 2014 alone. And in that search, they found 110 emails that were classified, should be classified as classified, 8 of those as top secret information. All right. The evidence, he said, after going through all of that, he said, the evidence that we conclude is that she was extremely careless in how all of these emails were handled. However, there is no evidence of intentional effort to use the email to send classified top secret information. No intention. Now, he goes on to say, now, they should have known, but there's no evidence, according to the FBI director, that there was an intent to mislead. There was an intent to hide things from the American people.
So ignorance of the law is an excuse.
Oh, my gosh, I'm about to blow my lid over here.
Okay.
Because if that's what he said, I didn't hear it because I'm here on the radio. And from what I understand, FBI Director James Comey is a straight-laced, by-the-book, straight shooter.
Right.
He's playing semantics with the American people. Okay, in legal understanding, there's a difference between specific intent and generalized intent. And almost every jurisdiction, as it pertains to, for example, the criminal offense of murder, it's styled in two different ways, either the specific intent to kill or the intent to cause bodily harm. Both of them result in convictions for murder because, hey, Fred, if I hit you in your leg and you bleed out to death, it still would be a murder.
Okay.
Even though I haven't specifically, affirmatively desired to cause your death, my specific actions resulted in your death. How can you say that she doesn't have the intent to do what she did when she intentionally set up the email server?
I know. I'm not laughing because it's funny.
I mean, this is insane.
Right. Well, you're right. We have heard great things about, you know, James Comey, the FBI director. When I was watching, I know you got some more bullet points to cover here. When I was watching his news conference up here on TV, you ever try to do a live radio show while you're watching TV? you may say things you regret. Anyway, I'm watching this. And basically, he lays out the whole case for why she should be indicted.
Well, that
and then he says, "I'm not recommended."
And listening to him, he even got into the issue of the vulnerability of the system and that outside foreign interest getting in. And he says, again, while there may have not been any intent to allow that to happen, because of where she sent these emails off to other people, it is very clear that their computers could have been hacked. So
Is that not against the law?
I'm listening to all of this, guys. Right.
And he's making the whole case for an indictment.
And that's
recommended.
And I thought to myself, well, I was wrong because I was speculating there wouldn't be any charges. And I'd say, it sure sounds to me like charges are going to be laid. And then he said, after all of this exhaustive investigation, he even said the security culture of the State Department was lacking. All right, so they're run poorly. This has been a sloppy, sloppy mess. And yes, even top secret emails get out there where, you know, the people, bad people could see them. After saying all of this, he says, we are recommending to Justice. And of course, he says the Justice Department has the final say, but we are recommending that no charges be laid against the Secretary of State.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This all comes on the heels of Bill Clinton, the former president, having a half-hour private meeting with Attorney General Lynch last week on the tarmac in her airplane. He aborted her airplane, had a half hour. The only reason anybody knew about this was because a TV station
in Arizona caught them, yeah.
They didn't know they weren't supposed to have cameras.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, this all, wow. So this is it for her. The Attorney General is not going to indict if the FBI says there's no reason to. But if I were James Comey, the FBI director, gave all these reasons why she should be indicted and then says I'm not going to. What do you think about this?
This stinks. This stinks.
Does
this
it really?
Stinks.
Okay.
This stinks, and I don't want to get that bogged down in the legal weeds.
Right.
But specific intent versus general intent. You saying that she may not have intentionally desired for Russia to get America's, you know, secrets concerning nuclear codes. That doesn't change the fact that she violated the law. I mean, she intentionally set up this server.
Right, right.
So the results of her intentional activity resulted in violation of the law, regardless of the specific intentions to create the results. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We take automakers to court. They might not intend to put parts in a car that don't work and cause accidents.
Right.
You know, they can argue that.
Right.
But we take them to court. If they do put a faulty part in there, it causes a bunch of people to die.
Because they should have known the consequences of their behavior.
But that's what FBI Director Comey just said.
She should have.
Well, that she did know or she should have known. What you got here is, to try to boil it down to simple layman's terms, is ignorance of the law. That's what you... I don't think she had ignorance of the law.
No, she knows. They advise her of the legal requirements of her operation as a Secretary of State when she gets the job.
Right, right. And so, what happened here? He's given her a pass. Am I right? He's given her every benefit of the doubt when even there is not even any doubt on this situation. This really lowers the standard for charges to be brought against anybody for any reason
having to do with our
state secrets. So if somebody sets up a private server tomorrow, okay, and they work for the federal government, I'm just doing let's suppose the next Secretary of State, Kerry. Let's suppose today he calls over there and says, hey, I want to set up my own private server. So, and then he does the same thing Clinton does. You're not going to be able to get him in trouble legally unless you can prove that he deviantly in his mind intended on doing, exposing secrets to the. So it doesn't matter that what he did, as Abe said, to set up the circumstances that this would happen, is that. Sounds like to me, James Comey, the FBI director, is going, you know, we really comes down to reading her heart. You know, she has a good heart, and I don't think we can prove that she doesn't. That's what it sounds like to me on this.
You know, the other part that smells.
Yeah.
It's going to smell to a lot of people.
Yeah.
He comes out and makes this announcement 4 hours before Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama appear together in North Carolina.
Now, hold on just a second. Is James Comey, the FBI director, did he say he's not talked to anybody about, in other words, the president or never didn't know what I was going to say?
He preceded his remarks today by saying, I have talked, Justice has no idea about what I'm going to say.
Justice meaning his
Justice Department.
The Department of Justice.
Yeah.
Okay. But the fact that President Obama would choose to go on the campaign trail
today
with Hillary Clinton says to me that he knew that she wasn't going to be indicted, so he was tipped off.
And I think Hillary Clinton walked out of that interview with the FBI on Saturday.
She knew.
There is no way the sitting president of the United States would show up for a campaign appearance when it's possible the FBI director will recommend her to be indicted for criminal felony charges.
So this whole thing.
Man, this stinks. This stinks.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's just the way Abe said stinks. All right, we're going to be back after the break. We've got a couple more comments on this, and then we'll move on to other news. But the big news is that the FBI director today has exonerated Hillary Clinton of any potential legal charges. They will not recommend an indictment, even though he said she did everything wrong.
Yep.
It's, I don't know. Go figure. We'll be back in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll get the top headlines with Fred Jackson of American Family News. Terry Law and James Gilbert talk about their book, Unmasking ISIS, Defending the Terrorists Who Want to Destroy the World. And Alex McFarland, Dr. Ed Holliday, and Dr. Alveda King share about their book, Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right. It was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually, who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our spiritual heritage tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September, or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Any church that opens its doors to the public in Iowa must allow transgender people to use the bathrooms of their choice. That bombshell coming from the state's Civil Rights Commission. First Liberty Institute, a law firm specializing in religious liberty cases, sent a demand letter to the commission urging them to exempt churches from sexual orientation and gender identity laws. First Liberty represents Cornerstone World Outreach, a congregation in Sioux City. And based on their theology, they are in violation of the law. The Civil Rights Commission says only churches engaged in bona fide religious activity are exempt. But who decides what is and is not bona fide religious activity? Does that mean men who identify as women can use the ladies' room during church suppers? Can women who identify as men play on the church softball team? Questions every church pastor in the Hawkeye State should be asking. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, in November, we will have a presidential election. We also have a lot of other elections, Senate, governors, House of Representatives, state legislatures. There's a lot to vote on in November. Certainly, the big national one is the presidential race. And we've got the conventions coming up. And Donald Trump is a presumptive Republican nominee. And it looks like he will for certain be opposing Hillary Clinton, because the FBI director, James Comey, just says that they will not be recommending any charges against her regarding the email situation where she put her own, where she was doing State Department business on her own private server out of her basement. So he basically, James Comey, the FBI director, basically said that this was a terrible idea. I'm paraphrasing now. She put the country's information secrets at risk, classified information, top secret information. He basically laid out the case for why she should be indicted for violating federal law, but then he said, but I'm not going to. And I'm not going to recommend an indictment. So, story over, I guess, right?
I'm positive.
I mean, for a day or two, it'll be in the news. Yeah. But she can breathe again. Wow. Because she won't be. But wow, you're talking about a year and millions of dollars of FBI, investigative powers of the FBI.
Yeah.
All this for a year.
Yeah. It. And it boggles the mind.
And she doesn't get any trouble at all.
Yeah,
wow.
And you have to compare it to the General Petraeus case, who was accused of doing similar actions and resulted in him being relieved of his duty serving as a general in Afghanistan, and also being criminally convicted, albeit of a misdemeanor, but still convicted of a criminal charge. And it, you know, I made the observation to you off the air. It sounds a lot like Justice Roberts' opinion when the Obamacare individual mandate was being challenged. Here, FBI Director Comey seemed to have laid out the case for why Hillary Clinton should be indicted and all the criminal infractions and things that she had done wrong. And then says, yeah, but no charges. We won't recommend any charges to the Department of Justice. It's similar to Justice Roberts' opinion that the way it reads, the very beginning of the opinion all the way through, reads as if the Supreme Court was going to find the individual mandate unconstitutional. So much so, there were legal analysts coming out saying, yeah, the Supreme Court is striking down Obamacare. Then at the end of the opinion, it flips. it's constitutional, though, because it's not it's a tax. Mm-hmm. And it boggles the mind and any apprehension. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be too strong and careless with my words here,
right,
but it seems as if these people are formerly they would at least try to act like they were not corrupt. Whereas now it's almost as if, you know, throw caution to the wind. I mean, this comes on the heels of a former President Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac in Loretta Lynch's, the Attorney General's private jet.
For half
over
an hour.
30 minutes.
In a secret meeting.
In a secret meeting. Nobody was supposed to learn about that meeting.
Right.
And they want us to believe they talked about grandkids and pancakes.
Right. Right. Well, you know, this is, I guess, now you've still got the Clinton Foundation story out there that, I guess, the investigation there. But, again, this is big news, especially for Democrats, because they don't have to worry about finding somebody else to run against Donald Trump. It will be Hillary Clinton, who's some people are going to say got away with it again.
Yeah,
I mean, because be honest, the Clinton's reputation is
can anybody lay a glove on the Clintons?
Skating the law.
I mean, good gracious.
Yeah. All right, so we will see what happens there. But President Obama is on the campaign trail with Hillary Clinton today. Can a president? I guess a president can do about what he wants to, but it just something doesn't seem right about using the president's Air Force One on a campaign stop for somebody, not even him.
I mean,
in other words, she wouldn't be having to use campaign money. She could just use the president's money campaign.
That's pretty much what it is.
What's going on here,
he does. If she's flying on Air Force One to the campaign stop in North Carolina, she doesn't have to expend any of her personal campaign resources to make that.
That's
trip.
What Trump was saying today.
You know, so. So does that
paying?
Mean that you and I pay for President Clinton's campaign? I mean, sorry, excuse me.
Right.
Hillary Clinton's campaign?
Right.
I mean, because Air Force One is paid for by tax dollars.
Right.
Federal tax dollars. So is that a legitimate usage of Air Force One, really?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's not.
No, it's not. That should be the if you're going to use Air Force One, it should be it should be for government business, you know, for the country's business, not for a campaign stop for Hillary Clinton. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. The race between Clinton and Trump, you know, the polls are going to change, but go back and forth between now and November. They already have been changing. But I think she shows, what, a slight lead? In most of the polls, would you say 3 or 4 points? Of course, we're talking about a national poll.
Right.
I don't even know how much you should look at a national poll, quite frankly. What you need to look at to determine who's leading in the presidential race are about 5, 6, 7 states. Mm-hmm. That's all really you need to look at. Everybody knows Texas is going to vote Republican. everybody knows California and New York are going to vote Democrat. All right. So there's those five or six swing states that are going to determine who our next president is, as has been the case since Gore versus Bush. You've got Florida. You've got Virginia. You've got Ohio. Those are the three big ones. Yeah. Potentially Pennsylvania may be in play.
Yeah.
Those four come to
those
mind.
Four. Wisconsin,
maybe Michigan.
Yep, Michigan.
You would think the Republicans would win North Carolina, but I think Obama won North Carolina the last time out. So, or maybe the last two times.
Yeah, he won it.
So you got though. If I were Trump, I would, and I'm sure Hillary Clinton will do the same. I would just spend my time in, you know, about six or seven or eight of those states, and spend all your money there for your advertising, because that's where it's. Those are the swing states.
Yeah, and those historically have decided who the president has been. I mean,
isn't Ohio sort of the bell cow state?
Yeah, Ohio.
I mean, yeah. you don't win a national presidential election without winning Ohio. I don't think. I don't remember the like. Maybe you might type Google that so you can Google that and see if Ohio's the Florida. You know, Republicans have to win Florida too. You can't lose Florida. You lose Florida, you lose the election, no matter if you win Ohio or not. If you're so Republicans have to win Florida. So Trump would have to beat Clinton in Florida. But a lot rides on this presidential election, you know, because the Supreme Court hangs in the balance for the next generation. You heard me right. The Supreme Court hangs in the balance for a generation based on whether Clinton or Trump is the next president. Clinton will, she will select ACLU-type lawyers to be Supreme Court justices, and she'll do that proudly. Trump has said he will select pro-life, he says, conservative judges to sit on the Supreme Court, like Antonin Scalia or Clarence Thomas. So it's a stark contrast in what the two believe about judges, at least. And that very few responsibilities that a president has that are more important. I would say it's right up there, top three. More important or as important as selecting who the Supreme Court justices are, and the federal judges. I know the Supreme Court gets all the attention, but folks, there are hundreds of federal judges that a president will select during his 4-year tenure that impact the country in great ways. Most cases don't ever make it to the Supreme Court. What, 2%?
That is a fact.
1%, 2%, maybe? No.
Most people don't realize, in order for a case to be heard by the Supreme Court, the court has to grant what's called certiorari, which means that they agree to hear the case. And that only happens in a very, very, very small percentage of the cases.
So most decisions regarding our federal courts are made by appellate judges or federal judges out there across the country. You'll never hear their names, hardly. But they're appointed by whoever the president is.
That's right.
And they're almost rubber stamped
by the Senate. And I have to throw this in, too. Most courts' decisions turn on, let me say it this way, legally this way you say it, not disturbing the decision of the trial court. Great deference is given to the decision at the federal district court level.
Right.
So the federal judges down the line, not just the Supreme Court, are critically important to what happens in America.
Yeah, I've said it before. Federal judges are little gods. In this, I use that with a small g, obviously, but they really are. Our country is, to a large extent, run by the decisions of federal judges today. Not necessarily the Supreme Court, but these federal judges, who you know are there for life. They're not going to be voted on. They're not going to be removed from office. I don't remember the last time a federal judge was impeached. But
1800s.
Really?
Yes.
There wasn't one impeached named Nixon for, remember that, a few years ago? Not President Nixon. I'm not getting that confused. Seemed like it was a federal judge for bribery.
Bribery is one.
Got impeached for bribery. Anyway.
I got those numbers on Ohio, okay. too.
The bottom line is very, very important who the next president is, because they will select federal judges, including Supreme Court justices, that will impact our lives for a generation. And I'm not overstating that, because there will be 2, 3, or 4 Supreme Court justices appointed in the next couple, 3, 4 years. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
He was a district court judge. He was impeached for perjury.
Perjury.
Yes.
Okay. But that's rare. That's extremely rare that a federal judge is impeached or gets in any kind of trouble. All right. We want to change topics and welcome our first guest. We're going to talk now to Dr. Tricia McCary Rhodes. She is the author of a book called The Wired Soul, Finding Spiritual Balance in a Hyper-Connected Age. And, we look around and everybody's into all kind of devices and all kind of electronics, so much vying for our attention today. Dr. Rhodes, thanks for being our guest. I have the wrong guest. Well, I guess that means Dr. Rhodes is not going to answer us till about 30 minutes from now. I have introduced the wrong guest. We have with us, who's our guest now?
Our guest now is Tracy Stratford.
Tracy?
Here to discuss with us Hooray for Liberty, Charlie okay. Brown. She formerly voiced the character Lucy on the Charlie Brown series. Tracy, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Tracy, I apologize. This is Tim. This is what I get for watching TV while I'm doing radio. You get in trouble here. The guest I introduce will not be on with us till about 10 after the next hour, and we can't go 25 minutes with silence, so we're going to have to interview you, gladly interview you about your book. Tell us what you do. What's your day job?
I'm actually a librarian.
Okay.
I'm a high school librarian. Started out my career as an elementary librarian, but long before that, I was the original voice of Lucy in the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
You're not going to tell us to shh, are you? During this,
no.
When you say librarian, high school librarian, my heart starts palpitating here, because I think back to, I don't know why a librarian, high school librarian, strikes fear into your heart, but it's just like you're going to be shished, told to be quiet. So you were the original voice for Lucy. What years are we talking about?
It actually aired in 1965.
1965. Which of the episodes?
That was the Christmas special. That was the very first one.
And how many episodes were there of Charlie Brown?
I've actually lost count of how many there are.
But right.
The second one was You're a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Then they went on to do Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day and Easter. They've done a couple of Valentine's Day ones. And now in December, they just came out with the Charlie Brown movie.
So if I watch the Christmas special with Charlie Brown and I listen to Lucy, that's you.
That's me.
How did you get that job?
It actually started, they were doing a documentary on Charles Schulz, and this was Lee Mendelson and Bill Melendez, who have done all of the Charlie Brown specials. But in this documentary, Lee Mendelson had Bill Melendez, who was also an illustrator, he had him animate some of Charles Schulz's cartoon strips, and they put voice to it. Well, that documentary never actually aired, and that was in 1963, but it was the catalyst for a Charlie Brown Christmas special. I acted a lot as a child. I started long before I could even remember. I started before I was the age of 3, and so I had done quite a few things, Twilight Zones, Bonanza, Rawhide, a bunch of different shows. And so, yes, I assume I went on an interview for that role, but then that was the catalyst for A Charlie Brown Christmas.
All right, Tracy, this is Abraham here. I have a question for you, and you fill our listeners in as is appropriate. I want to make sure I don't have it wrong. You have decided to utilize children's stories to communicate American history. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that and how you came to use that method to create, or should I say, convey American history.
Okay. Well, as a student, I vividly recall two history teachers. And one of them, actually, she was my eighth grade history teacher. She actually would dress up in costumes every once in a while, and she would act out parts of American history that were just vital to our nation. And I'm not kidding you. Every child in that classroom was on the edge of their seat because we all wanted to know more. We all wanted to find out more and discover why she was doing this and what the characters that she was portraying, what were they doing and what was their rationale for doing it. Well, the wonderful thing about Charles Schulz's characters is that there is, never is in any adult talking down to kids or telling the kids, any of the characters, what to do. If you recall, all you hear when you hear adults talking is wah, wah, wah. So, the beauty of Charles Schulz's characterizations is that the kids have a problem, the kids solve the problem, and everyone comes out better on the other end. And I, as an actor and as a parent and a grandparent, know that when kids go to learn something, it's so much easier to learn something if you've got a hook, if you become engaged. I think story is a great way, as my eighth grade history teacher showed, story is a great way to hook kids and to get them to not only empathize with the characters, but kind of understand the decision-making that went into some of the decisions that were made in our history. Like, why in the world would you ever take a wagon and go across the country where you knew absolutely nothing and had to face unknown fears? Why would you do that? So by having the characters in the Charlie Brown series take on those roles, kids can identify not only with the characters, but they can identify with the stories behind that. And since these books are geared toward 4 to 8-year-olds and they deal with history that elementary school kids get, I thought these would just be a perfect vehicle to help kids and hook them on really pertinent things in our country's history.
And we're, our guest, excuse me, we're talking to Tracy Stratford, the voice of Lucy for Charlie Brown Christmas. She's now a high school librarian, and her passion is communicating American history to children. And what's the name of the book?
Well, there's three of them. There's Hooray for Liberty, Charlie Brown, and that one has to do with the Declaration of Independence. And then there's It's a New World, Charlie Brown, and that one has to do with a day in the life of our early colonists and what it took to be a member of that colony and community. And then there's Westward Ho, Charlie Brown, which is obviously about folks who went on the Oregon Trail.
You know what? This applaud you for what you're doing here, because I'm telling you, we're losing our connection with our founding. We as a country, especially our younger generation today, and by younger, I mean 30 under, we're losing the further we get away, I think this is human nature. It's not an excuse. It's just human nature. The further you get away from the founding of something, the less the people of that era, that time, appreciate it or remember it or know it. And that's what's happening with so many of our young people today. Abe, they just don't even know. I saw a video interview. It was funny and sad at the same time of a guy. Mm-hmm. He was interviewing some people. He interviewed like 20 people on the beach, you know, on the beach there in San Diego. I forgot what the gentleman's name is. He's very popular on the internet with these kind of Waters mm-hmm. World type interviews.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was asking them what year did our we have our Declaration of Independence signed?
Mm-hmm.
Who did we declare independence from?
What year?
You know, what yeah, year? You some that. People were saying China, and others were saying, you know, not 1860.
Mm-hmm.
And one time he said, the interviewer said, you know, our founding fathers like Jesse Ventura and John Wilkes Booth, who were some of the other founding fathers? And the people were
just, one of them said Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, it was just so. I mean, we got a lot of work to do, but
yeah.
Thank goodness for people like you, Tracy, who are trying to use your skills and talents and abilities to and experience to help educate children on our country's history.
Well, too, I believe that that being in education, we can't present history with just dry facts and figures and statistics because there's really no connection. There's really no hook. You can have me memorize that stuff all day long, but as soon as I'm done using it, I'm going to forget.
Right. Somebody.
Is actually create a hook. So kids are interested and want to explore further.
Yeah, we want kids to remember the stories they're taught as children for the rest of their life about American heroes, about our founding, about what American exceptionalism, what is freedom, what is liberty. What are human rights? What are freedom? What's the Constitution? Those things that's the foundation of who we are as a country. And if we have to have people understand that to appreciate it. I was one other note on that interview I saw the other day. The guy has a microphone. And he's asking one of these people that he's interviewing on the street. Says, when was the War of 1812, and they couldn't answer it.
Yeah,
said what year was the War of 1812? And they put them put their microphone over there. It was anyway. Listen, thanks so much for your time, Tracy. We appreciate it, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Are any more Charlie Brown voiceovers in the future? In your no, you think that time has passed?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Age of 12, you kind of get
fired. Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, I didn't even ask. Do they still use Dewey Decimal?
That's who?
In the kindergarten. No, in that library. Have I got the...
Probably not. Most all of it is digital now. So
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but everything's digital.
You know where you... Yeah, everything's digital. But yeah. you went to the... Have I got the... It was called Dewey Decimal,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
John Dewey invented it, and you go to the...
to find the
find
the
where the books are
books.
In the... Yeah, by subject and number.
Yeah, no, they don't do that anymore.
I don't even know if libraries are going to make it, public libraries anymore, because what do you need them for, really? Except to check out a hard copy of a book, but I mean...
They're turning into internet research resources.
Because you get things online. You get the Kindle and the... What's the other one, popular one? Nook?
The Nook. Yeah.
Those books online.
Get all your books.
All right. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. You remember that guest I introduced about 20 minutes ago? Well, they're really going to be on in about 10 minutes from now. You would think I'd be embarrassed. Why am I not embarrassed? I don't know. You try watching TV and carrying on a radio conversation, folks. It's not easy. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.